Welcome to Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Well, National Dog Bite Prevention Week is coming up, and so it's a perfect time to get our questions about dog bites answered. And for me, as a person who's been bitten more than once, I often wonder, can the incidence of dog bites, especially serious ones, be significantly lowered with relatively simple means? What can we easily and practically do to lower the frequency of injury due to dog bites? Now, if you follow the news on animal issues, dog bites, injuries to children, lawsuits related to bites, and even criminal charges are pretty common. Just the other day, a newborn was tragically killed in Britain by the family dog. And you may have seen the story from last year of a news anchor in Iowa who was severely bitten while on the air by an Argentine mastiff, just saved from an icy pond. And Farmers Insurance recently announced it's going to stop providing coverage to policyholders of certain breed types. So what can we do to lessen the frequency of bites from dogs, who, after all, are man's best friend? Now, later in the show, Dr. Michael Greger will return to discuss the latest news about red meat. And let me tell you, if you still are eating meat, you're going to want to listen to this. And also, we'll have some animal news items with Peter. But first, to address these important questions surrounding dog bites, I'm happy to welcome Dr. Sophia Yin to the show. Dr. Yin is a graduate of the UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine and is an animal behavior expert. She lectures widely and has authored numerous articles on animal behavioral issues. Welcome to the show, Sophia.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Thanks. Sophia, how common are dog bites?
Oh, dog bites are very, very common. In fact, about 4.5 million people are bitten a year, and there are about 800,000 bite victims per year that go to the doctor's office, and about 6,000 require hospitalization. So that's quite a few, and that's just the reported ones.
Yeah, who tends to get bitten by dogs? Who is most at risk?
Well, in terms of age group, the most at-risk group is our children, especially young boys. And really, dog bites, when you were saying, are they preventable? Yes, probably 90% of them are preventable because they're occurring because of behaviors that the victims do around the dog, as well as precautions that the owners have failed to take. And one reason that so many young kids are bitten is because they are especially bad at reading the dog's body language, and they do things that are really inappropriate to dogs. Like they may just run really fast or rush at them or harass them, and they don't realize that the dog doesn't like these things, and the dog has no way of telling them except growling, and if that doesn't work, then possibly snapping or biting. And kids have their face right at a dog's level so frequently that they often get bitten, especially in the face.
Sophia, I was told that having a dog in the household is associated with a higher incidence of dog bites, and that adults with two or more dogs in the household are five times more likely to be bitten than those living without dogs at home. Is this correct, and does this mean that people are often bitten by their own dogs?
Well, a lot of people are bitten by their own dogs, and when they are bitten by their own dogs, it's most frequently that they don't realize that the dog has a dog can only put up with a certain amount of harassment, and people often play and harass the dog when the dog doesn't want to be bothered. For instance, the dog may be sleeping, and maybe it'll put up with people bothering it sometimes. But if it happens a lot, then the dog starts to get on edge when people bother it. It would be like if people came up and woke you every time you wanted to sleep. You would start getting agitated. And then what happens is when the dog raises its lips, the owners don't recognize, or then the dog growls and the owner starts to punish it. And it just escalates the conflict. And as a result, at some point, the owner will get bitten. And again, a lot of these households have kids, and kids are also not trained to act appropriately around the dog, so they may jump on the dog and bother the dog when the dog's sleeping, or they may grab the dog or ride the dog. In fact, if you watch YouTube, you see a ton of videos of people showing how tolerant from the dog may lick its lips. That for so long, we keep getting harassed and have the ability to leave its own area if it can't get away. If the door is closed, it can't leave. So dogs do have a breaking point, and just because your dog in the friendly is in the household is really friendly and tolerant doesn't mean he won't at some point get to the point where he needs to snap to tell you to back off.
Let's talk about the characteristics of the dogs who are doing the biting. Are there certain breeds or other distinguishing features that are most associated with the biting?
No, there are not certain breeds. And in fact, while we're talking about people being bitten, people who have multiple dogs getting bitten, they aren't just getting bitten by their own dogs. A lot of people are getting bitten by other people's dogs. And what happens is a lot of dogs are not socialized well when they're young, and as a result, they're afraid of a lot of things. And they may be comfortable with their family and in their own surroundings, but they're uncomfortable with unfamiliar people. And a lot of people will go up to them and try to pet them, and they don't realize that the dog's turning its head, backing away, putting its ears back, and they just push themselves right on the dog, and then the dog needs to defend itself because their human is not helping them. And because the dog is fearful and they can't get away, then eventually they learn to bite to get out of the situation. And one reason that people who own dogs may get bitten more is because they're used to their own dog who may be really friendly, and then they think they can treat other dogs the same way. So it would be like not understanding that you can act with your family one way, but you can't be that familiar. You can't act that familiar with other people. Like, you could go and hug your family members, but if you don't know a stranger on the block, you don't run up to them and hug them. And people who are very familiar with dogs in their own life, who are very tolerant, go up to unfamiliar dogs and do really inappropriate things to these dogs that don't know them. So I think one of the biggest, most common characteristics for a dog who bites is they're fearful, regardless of breed. So it's a fearful dog, and the dog is most likely fearful because they have not been socialized well, meaning that starting between 3 weeks and 3 months of age, they need to have positive experiences with different people on a regular basis, different environments and different animals on a regular basis, specifically positive experiences during that period, and well into adolescence.
If I'm near a dog, how can I identify whether he or she is likely to bite me or my child? What should I look for?
Well, number one, if you're around an unfamiliar dog, the first thing to do is, if you ever want to interact, make sure that you ask the owner first. And then you want to look at the dog, because not all owners know when their dogs are comfortable. You want to look, is that dog actively coming up to you for attention? Does the dog look relaxed? Is its tail... Usually when they're relaxed, their tail is up, but... A high tail, a tail that's really high and wagging, doesn't necessarily mean they're friendly. It can just mean they're really excited. So we want the dog to look relaxed. What we don't want to see is a dog that is panting, turning its head away from you, looking away from you, trying to back away, having its ears back. Sometimes they'll yawn when they're anxious. And if you're familiar with the dog at all, sometimes you'll know that dogs who are nervous, when they're nervous, suddenly they look really tired. So they'll yawn and their eyes will look a little bit sleepy, and people will think, oh, they're just being calm, but they're actually, it's a form of freezing, meaning when animals are afraid, they may flee or they may freeze or they may, if those don't work, they may lunge forward and attack. So if you see a dog that looks anxious at all, so it's not engaging and actively wanting to come over to you, then I would leave that dog alone. And also, if you see a dog that's overly excited, it's bouncing around and the owner doesn't really have any control of it, I wouldn't go over and pet that dog either, because that dog may not be intentionally aggressive, but it's out of control, and so it could still claw people, or sometimes dogs grab just because they're playing, and they're not biting intentionally, but they're just playing too rough.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're going to pet another dog, you want to make sure the dog is calm, but actively soliciting or actively looking to engage with you. And I think if people step back and think, well, when I'm greeting a person, how do I know that they want to be greeted? Well, they actually look relaxed, and they look at you, but they're not staring at you like they want something from you, unless you have
right.
food, of course, if it's a dog.
Don't go away. More with Dr. Sophia Yin. We're talking about how to prevent dog bites.
She broke a needle and she can't stop walking the dog.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
This message is brought to you by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website, again, is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
They say you get what you pay for, meaning the less you pay, the less you get. Not necessarily true. For instance, a lot of people pay less for car insurance by switching to GEICO, but get more than savings. They get satisfaction. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is at 97%. And that explains why I nearly got stepped on by some happy customers dancing in the street.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hello, this is Scott for Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food. Lads, your lawn is a living, breathing thing, and right now it's hungry, famished even. So it's up to you to feed it, and feed it today with Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food. A prompt feeding now in early spring and another in late spring strengthens and helps protect your lawn from future problems. Learn more at Scott's.com. Go on, put down some Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food this weekend. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
GMC Certified Service, this is Patrick.
I hear you guys are the service experts.
Oh, we know a thing or two.
All right, it's go time. I need what?
New tires.
On my...
Yukon?
On my...
Yukon Hybrid.
With...
18-inch wheels.
And the most wear is on?
Your left front tire, though your right front tire isn't much better.
Not bad. You only got one thing wrong.
What's that?
It's not my Yukon. It's my wife's.
Your name's on the title, right?
Well played, my friend. Well played.
Professional grade service for your professional grade vehicle? GMC certified service experts are speaking your language. Technicians who make the grade. For a limited time, get a $100 mail-in rebate debit card on a set of four select brand name tires. Only at your GMC dealer. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. See dealer for eligible tire brands. Visit GMCCertifiedService.com for details and to find a participating dealer. Offer ends May 31st, 2013.
You ain't nothing but a
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Dr. Sophia Yin. Since Dog Bite Prevention Week is coming up, and Sophia, you know, you mentioned earlier that it's best to socialize a puppy when they're young, in the first several weeks. Here on Animals Today, we always encourage adopting and saving a life versus purchasing a dog from a breeder. And one of the reasons I hear from people as to why they want to buy a dog from a breeder is that the dog will already be socialized and trained, or if they do adopt a dog from a shelter, they want a younger dog so it is more easily trainable and less likely to have aggressive tendencies. I've seen a few videos of you training what appears to be an aggressive dog, a dog that lunges and pulls and barks at other dogs that walk by. And this behavior seemed to be broken with your techniques within 10 minutes. How big a misconception is it that only a puppy or a younger dog can be trained or socialized?
Well, the best time to socialize the dog or to start socializing the dog is when they're young, and ideally it starts at the either at the breeders, or if the puppy, a litter, is born at the shelter, it does start at the shelter between 3 weeks and 3 months of age. So, you know, often shelters don't have them that young, but breeders should be doing socialization. Most of them probably don't, but they should. But just because you don't get them socialized really intensely early on doesn't mean that it's impossible. So it means that you may need to do a lot more work, or you may not. It depends on the dog, and you can tell better when you get the dog what the dog's like. But in terms of training older dogs, actual training, for instance, sit, down, come, heel, focus on me, is not any harder when they're adults because, you know, actually when they're adults, sometimes they're calmer than when they're puppies, and they're not as busy. So one thing that's really challenging about puppies is they're busy. They want to be doing something all the time. And I think anybody who has kids understands that if you have a child that's like 2 to 4 years of age, they're all over the place, versus when you have older kids, they understand better. Here you go, play with this. I don't need to be entertaining you all the time. And so puppies really can be really challenging. And I think a lot of people think that they should just get a puppy. But realistically, there are many, many adult dogs that would be so much easier. In fact, if I went to the shelter and I was going to get a dog, I didn't want to be super busy in those first weeks, I would probably get an adult dog. Because
wonderful.
I wouldn't have to worry as much about potty training and
right.
Just adult dogs are often just easier. And there's a lot of really dogs that you really wonder why anybody would have given them up, because there are a lot of dogs that are just calm, already sweet, polite dogs that are in the shelter. So really it's about going and looking for certain characteristics in dogs, and also being truthful about what do you really want in a dog? What amount
Sophia,
of time are you going
to
really spend?
I want to move on to ask you more about the training and the fear in dogs you were speaking about. You know, when people approach a dog, people would often say that you should greet a dog by letting him sniff your hand. Is this a good thing?
I definitely tell people, do not reach your hand out towards the dog. Because what people tend to do is they'll reach their hand out, and when you're doing that, that's to the dog, it looks like you're going to grab them. So if a dog is fearful and you reach your hand out, especially if you reach your hand out and lean towards them, then to them it looks like you're going to attack them. So what I tell people is the ideal way is that you're faced a little bit sideways, so you're not just staring at them, and you let them come up to you. And I tell people specifically, it should be as if you don't have arms. You're like a T-Rex. You just have these little forearms and hands, and the dog comes up to you, and you're only allowed to move your forearms and hands to pet the dog. So the dog really needs to be right next to you, have chosen to come up to you that close, and then you can pet the dog. And generally, with an unfamiliar dog, I don't reach out over the head. Instead, I reach out on the side so that you're not reaching over the head.
Right. Sophie, I'm sure many of us have seen or may have had a dog that would display barking and aggressive lunging and appears to want to attack a strange human or dog who passes by. What causes that sort of behavior? Is that fear as well?
Well, a lot of times, yes, dogs often will learn that if they're off leash and they're afraid of something, they may just back away. But when they're on leash, they know they can't actually get away. So in that case, they may be more defensive and be proactive, and they learn that offense is their best defense. So they learn that if they bark, that person who might have been approaching them keeps walking on. And so often they'll be barking because they're scared. Now, there are also dogs who just get excited and have no control, and they bark because they're excited. But there's a problem with that, too, and that is that the more aroused a dog gets, they can get so aroused that they do just act aggressively. And I say it's sort of like at a Super Bowl when your team wins and everybody goes and they're all excited, and then by the end they're rioting and destroying cars. They didn't go intending to cause damage. They just got super excited, and some of them are drunk, but they just got overly excited and then got out of control. So arousal or excitement and aggression are on a continuum, and when animals get super, super excited and they're pacing and jumping and can't control themselves, sometimes it ends in a bite, and the bite isn't necessarily purposeful, it's just reactive. It's like if a dog is running out at a person just because it's used to running and barking at people who pass the house, and it gets to that person and that person stands still, the dog might just go, oh, now what do I do? But if the person...
So, Sophia, how does one briefly, because we only have a minute left to the segment, briefly, how would one train a dog who is like that, who is excited or fearful, that tends to lunge? And how do you train them to be more receptive to friendly people they meet outside the home?
So, number one, all of these dogs need impulse control. And meaning they need to learn that being calm gets them what they want. And I do that through my version of the Learn to Earn program, where dogs learn to say please by sitting for everything they want automatically. And then they're able to focus on the owner better, and the owner learns how to get them to focus better using rewards, rewarding for good behavior. And then what happens out on the walk is what you want to do is, if your dog is pulling on leash and you can't get your dog's attention back, there's a problem there. What I want people to do is, if your dog is pulling on leash, whether it's barking or not, you want to be able to get the dog focused on you and engaged in more appropriate behaviors that it enjoys. So the dog is learning, in this scary situation or this situation where I usually get overly excited, I don't need to get overly excited or be scared. I'm going to instead engage in fun behaviors with my owner where I'm behaving appropriately.
Very good. Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today.
$10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Hello, this is Scott for Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food. Lads, your lawn is a living, breathing thing, and right now it's hungry, famished even. So it's up to you to feed it, and feed it today with Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food. A prompt feeding now in early spring and another in late spring strengthens and helps protect your lawn from future problems. Learn more at scotts.com. Go on! Put down some Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food this weekend. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
That Hotels.com April shower sale is incredible.
I know.
I can't believe how much money we saved.
Don't say that too loudly. If the bellhops hear how much we saved, they'll be on us looking for big tips.
Too late.
Hi, folks. Take your bag.
Call your limo.
Wow.
Can I bring you extra towels?
How about a club sandwich?
I can carry you down the stairs.
Throw it on rose petals.
The Hotels.com April shower sale. On now through April 29th. With savings so great, you won't be able to keep it a secret. Book now and save up to 30%. Hotels.com. Finding you the perfect place at the perfect price.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are InSphere Insurance Solutions. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, InSphere Insurance Solutions can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. InSphere Insurance Solutions is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-980-9325. 800-980-9325. 800-980-9325. 800-980-9325.
Dr. Sophia Yin, you were describing before the break how to go about training your dog who might have these aggressive or these tendencies to lunge or appears to want to attack a stranger when you're walking on the street. And can you be a little more specific? You mentioned have your dog, during that time, engage in their owners, engage in you. How do you go about that? Can you be a little more specific?
Yes. Well, what we do is we train dogs to focus on us by, we do a number of exercises. And it's not, what we do is we reward behaviors we usually start with treats, meaning we actually have dogs work for their regular kibble, and then some treats in more distracting situations. And we reward them for sitting and looking at us, and then equally important, we make sure they do not get rewards for unwanted behavior. So once we can get dogs sitting and focused on us, we start adding movement. So we'll move backwards really fast and have them follow and then sit and get rewarded again. And then we'll make it into a game where we're moving fast enough so they think it's fun to follow us and then stop and sit. And then, so what I say is, it's not just about giving food rewards for looking at you or doing something. It's about moving in ways that are fun for them. I say dogs like MTV, not Masterpiece Theater. So if you're slow and you can't decide what you're going to do next, they're going to get bored. So I'll often do, they sit, I give a treat, I hurry up and move back again, I give another treat, and then I work in other exercises that we've worked on. So the dogs learn exercises where we'll sprint to the side, and then when we stop, they sit, and we'll sprint the other direction, and we stop, they sit, and then we'll work this into different healing exercises where they walk next to us. But again, it's not just about walking at a really boring, slow pace. We say you need to walk at least 120 beats per minute, which is 2 steps per second. You need to walk in a way where your dog is at a trot and looking at you, because if you're fun and engaging, they're looking at you. And also it's important how quickly you get that treat to them and what your body language is saying, because a lot of times dogs don't do what we want because they can't tell what we want. I tell people we need to lead like a leader in a dance, which means we need to give clear signals with our body about what we want them to do. So when I'm starting a dog, I actually stand with my arms bent 90 degrees and centered in front of my belly button. And then when I give treats, I just straighten my arm. And we say, you need to get that treat to the dog within 1/5 of a second. And we know that because we actually measure these. We measure and score owner technique. And that includes posture, how fast they get the treat. If you don't get it that fast, you're going to be like Masterpiece Theater or slower to your
okay.
dog.
Okay, so when you're walking your dog, and this is a dog you're trying to train, another dog walks by, this is when you begin your little routine, correct?
Right. So we want to get the dog so that whenever we need to, we can get them to heal looking at us, focused, and doing these other exercises. So once our dog walks well on our walks without distractions, we don't need the dog walking and looking at us the whole time. They can be walking next to us and looking around and on a loose leash and sniffing things. But then we randomly throw these exercises in. And also when there are distractions like dogs or people coming, then we'll practice these exercises. And the goal is you do them at whatever distance that you are good at the exercises. Because okay. the progress of your dog is more related to the person. We can often take dogs and we can get them good in 10 minutes or a day or 2 days or a week. Yet for the owner, it'll take them weeks or months because they're okay. learning the techniques.
Okay. Sophia, let's move to indoors briefly and into the home. Do the same reasons for dog bites apply in the home as well? And how do you decrease that risk? And try to be brief here in the interest of time, because I have a couple more very interesting questions I want to ask you.
Well, in the home, it's still often dogs that are fearful. And mm-hmm. and so it's often visitors coming over, and then the owners don't realize their dog is fearful because they don't really know the signs of fear. And in those cases, owners should really just, if they don't know how to work with their dog, they should just keep their dog separated from the people. And I think a big thing is they may think their dog is okay because when the people are sitting, the dog is fine. But as soon as the people get up, it's scary to the dog. And so that's when the dog does something. And so owners think, well, he's okay sometimes, so I'm just going to leave him out, when they should realize, well, once he was bad in this situation, so I should just separate him unless I further pursue how to fix the behavior.
You hear these tragic stories in which an infant or a young child is seriously injured or killed by the family pet. How can dogs and babies live peacefully in the same household?
Well, number one, humans should never, ever leave an infant or young child alone with a dog, because you never know, for instance, what a child is going to do to a dog that's going to harass the dog. But also, some dogs have have prey drive. I mean, dogs that squeaky toys, dogs like squeaky toys because it triggers their prey drive. And little babies sound like squeaky toys. So sometimes the dogs just seem interested and the humans think it's cute. But really, if they're overly interested, they may just suddenly think, oh, the baby's a squeaky toy. And then the more the baby or child screams, the more excited the dog is. And it just, they're not thinking, they're just reacting. And they have teeth, so they can injure the child. So never, 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 no matter how good you think your dog is, never leave him alone with an infant or child.
Yeah, I'm so glad you emphasized that. And, you know, Dr. Yin, one might immediately conclude when something tragic like this happens that it must be a pit bull or Rottweiler or a particular, you know, mean-looking breed of dog. What do the stats say about that?
Well, it's hard to look at the statistics because everybody calls dogs that are not – everybody thinks that everything is a pit bull. So if you actually look at the articles and newspaper news coverage and you look to see what breed it is, most of them are not pit bulls. They may have put on a news coverage, they may have put a picture of a pit bull up, but the dog that bit was not that dog and it wasn't a pit bull. So really any breed can kill. And if it's an infant, a small breed could kill. There's cases of Papillons and breeds that size, Cocker Spaniels, young puffy Labradors killing infants and young children too. So really, if you have a breed of dog that's bigger and stronger, they need to be under better control sooner. But really, the smaller breeds can be dangerous too. And really, if it's you and your child, it only takes one bad case. It only takes one dog and one child for it to happen.
Yeah.
So people should take precautions.
Dr. Yin, how about a dog bite? How about dog bite incident when it comes to unaltered dogs versus ones that have been spayed or neutered?
I would say I don't know what the statistics on that is because in the U.S. more dogs are actually neutered. In other countries, it's hard to tell too because it has to do with how the laws are in the other countries. And I think really the biggest difference is how much do the humans supervise and know about their dogs. The difference with dogs that are intact is that they roam more. So if they're roaming more, they're more likely to come across unfamiliar people and get into trouble just because they're roaming. But in terms of being neutered or unneutered, it probably doesn't make a difference in terms of how aggressive they are to people. It would more make a difference in how aggressive they are to other, for instance, other males that they might be competing for.
Okay. Well, it's always good to fix your dog. That's the message I want to give.
Yes, but it definitely is better because they're less likely to roam, for one, and become aggressive over females, for instance.
In the last few seconds, we know how important it is to walk and exercise your dog regularly to keep him healthy and provide mental stimulation. Is there an association between healthy, active dogs and dog bites?
I don't know that there's an association because we don't really keep statistics on how many people exercise their dogs, but dogs definitely do need regular exercise. And anybody who exercises a lot knows that when they don't get exercise, that they don't feel as good. And really, everybody should be interacting with and exercising their dog on a daily basis, and specifically exercise where the dog is learning impulse control still, because you can exercise your dog and train your dog naughty things. If for instance, you're playing fetch and you let your dog run and bark and make you throw the ball by barking at you, instead of learning that sitting calmly or lying down gets you to throw the ball.
Yeah. But Dr. Cynthia Yin, thank you very much for your expertise. Okay, don't go away. And listen, if you still eat meat, you're going to want to hear what Dr. Michael Greger has to say about that here on Animals Today.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org. Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
These days, everyone is looking for ways to save money. One idea is to get a free rate quote on your car insurance from GEICO. You could save 15% or more. It's a wonderful way to save money. And after that, if you're still looking for ways to save, here's another handy tip. To save money on clothing, do like me. Just don't wear any. And you'll also save money on dry cleaning.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hello, this is Scott for Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food. Lads, your lawn is a living, breathing thing, and right now it's hungry, famished even. So it's up to you to feed it, and feed it today with Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food. A prompt feeding now in early spring and another in late spring strengthens and helps protect your lawn from future problems. Learn more at scotts.com. Go on, put down some Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food this weekend. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all.
Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Hit it. Hey, I want to welcome Dr. Michael Greger back to the show. Michael is a physician and one of the world's leading authorities on the health benefits of plant-based diets, and he indeed is everywhere. Take a look at nutritionfacts.org or drgreger.org. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Hey. So a few months ago, you were telling this audience about research concerning endotoxins and the relationship to meat consumption. And now, just the other day, we've learned about new research having to do with L-carnitine. So please, what's L-carnitine? How is it consumed? And what did the researchers discover?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to the endotoxin story, actually. You know, so this group at Cleveland Clinic a few weeks ago published this study suggesting kind of a novel explanation as to why meat intake may be related to mortality. And so, you know, they talk about how, look, we know that people eating plant-based diets, vegetarians and vegans, have lower risk of heart disease, you know, our number one killer in this country compared to those that eat meat. And, you know, the traditional assumption has been, well, it's because of all the dietary cholesterol and saturated fat in the meat. But what these researchers discovered is that within 24 hours of carnitine consumption, carnitine is something found particularly in red meat, so they gave people basically a sirloin steak, and within 24 hours, they found that certain gut bacteria within the guts of those that eat meat metabolized the carnitine into a toxic substance called trimethylamine, which then gets oxidized in our liver and circulates throughout our bloodstream and may indeed interfere with our body's ability to pull cholesterol from this atherosclerotic plaques in our arteries, increasing our risk of strokes, heart attacks, and death.
They did a challenge in which vegans and vegetarians were fed this carnitine or this meat. And what did that show?
Oh, yeah. So that's very interesting. So they repeated the study, but instead of giving a meat eater a steak, they actually gave a vegan a steak, anything, and for science, I guess. So I'm a vegan, someone who'd been vegan for years, eating an 8-ounce sirloin steak, and it turned out they didn't make any of this toxic TMAO stuff, this trimethylamine stuff that increases risk of death. And you say, wait a second, what's going on? You just gave some a meat eater a steak, and you got this big burst in activity of this toxic stuff, and nothing for the vegan. And it turns out, well, it's this gut bacteria, these certain gut bacteria. So when people eat lots of fiber, for example, lots of good, healthy, whole plant foods, what we do is we select for fiber-eating bacteria in our gut. And it turns out what those good gut bacteria do with fibers, they make all these really great to metabolize, like propionate and butyrate, which reduce cancer risk and help reduce obesity. And so it's this nice symbiotic relationship. However, if instead you eat a lot of plant foods, eat a lot of animal foods, instead you select for animal product eating bacteria. And some of those waste products, like this trimethylamine, that the bacteria make can be toxic. And the reason they figured this out is they gave people antibiotics to wipe out the gut bacteria. And then if you give a meat eater antibiotics, wipe out the gut bacteria, then you can feed them a steak. And they don't make any TMAO, just like the vegans don't make any TMAO, this toxic compound. But then you wait a few weeks later, and their gut bacteria grows back. They continue to eat animal products, and then they're back in the same problem. And so this is kind of a cautionary tale for vegans, too. Vegans should not be taking carnitine supplements, should not take choline supplements, which can both have that same reaction, and we may be fostering the wrong types of bacteria in our gut.
Okay, so you said the word choline. That's even newer than the carnitine story. So what's going on with choline consumption, which is not necessarily from red meat?
Yeah, no, perfect. Now that's really the $100,000 question. And that's what media reports were missing. So a few weeks ago, Cleveland Clinic came out with this big study, carnitine, you know, maybe this this hidden reason why meat consumption is so related to heart disease mortality. But just yesterday in the New England Journal of Medicine, that same research team, in fact, was just covered in the New York Times this morning, the same research team did the same experiment, but instead of feeding people a steak, they fed people two hard-boiled eggs. Turns out that there's a similar compound in white meat, eggs, fish, chicken, dairy, called choline. Same problem. And so this is kind of a cautionary tale for vegans, too. Vegans should not be taking carnitine supplements, should not take choline supplements, which can both have that same reaction, and we may be fostering the wrong types of bacteria in our gut.
Okay, so you said the word choline. That's even newer than the carnitine story. So what's going on with choline consumption, which is not necessarily from red meat?
Yeah, no, perfect. Now, that's really the $100,000 question. And that's what media reports were missing. So a few weeks ago, Cleveland Clinic came out with this big study, carnitine, you know, maybe this this hidden reason why meat consumption is so related to heart disease mortality. But just yesterday in the New England Journal of Medicine, that same research team, in fact, was just covered in the New York Times this morning, the same research team did the same experiment, but instead of feeding people a steak, they fed people two hard-boiled eggs. Turns out that there's a similar compound in white meat, eggs, fish, chicken, dairy, called choline, that does the same thing as the carnitine, that those gut bacteria can turn carnitine from red meat or choline from eggs, dairy, or white meat into that same toxic trimethylamine N oxide, which can then increase our risk of heart attack, strokes, and death. And so, you know, the editorial that accompanied this landmark study in the New England Journal of Medicine is saying, look, this suggests kind of a new way to combat heart disease. But if the new way is, well, you need to cut down your consumption of meat, eggs, and dairy, well, then the new way is really just the old way, eating a plant-based diet to reduce our risk of the number one killer of men and women in the United States.
There's a cancer connection, particularly related to prostate cancer. Give us a quick summary on that as we wrap it up.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. So, you know, this whole thing has been couched in terms of heart disease, but it turns out that men who eat as few as one single egg every 3 days, so 2.5 eggs a week, increase the risk of lethal prostate cancer, deadly prostate cancer, by 81%. And so, you know, lots of men get prostate cancer, but it's slow-growing and localized. But once it spreads to the bone, it can be really quite deadly. And so Harvard researchers followed thousands of men with prostate cancer to see what in their diet increased this progression of the cancer, the spread of this cancer. And it turns out choline consumption found,
incredible,
again in eggs, white meat, as well as other meat products.
That's fabulous. Thanks for the update, Dr. Michael Greger. We look forward to having you back. This is
the opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
IRN USA Radio News. I'm Cameron Swayze. The owner of a factory building that collapsed in Bangladesh, killing hundreds of garment workers, was arrested on Sunday while trying to flee to India. Officials say this happened as hopes of finding more survivors from the country's worst industrial accident began to fade. Mohammed Sohail Rana was taken into custody by the elite Rapid Action Battalion in a border town, and the district police chief telling Reuters a four-day manhunt began after Rana Plaza, which housed factory workers making low-cost garments for Western retailers caved in on Wednesday. The Federal Reserve Board is expected to repeat its dovish message in the coming week, providing a potential safety net for markets facing a wave of earnings and the important April jobs report. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low energy? Or what about sleeplessness, low libido, and fat storage, especially around the belly area? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it'll be practically impossible to get rid of these problems. But you're in luck because Ambrin is the all-natural formula clinically shown to cause sustained weight loss in women over 40. With no big change in lifestyle, Ambrin restores hormonal imbalance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first 50 callers right now at 1-800-727-6808. Free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-727-6808. That's 1-800-727-6808.
Syria is again in the news. A bipartisan slate of political leaders pondered on Sunday what role the United States should play in Syria following indications that its besieged leader used chemical weaponry in that country's civil war. Senator John McCain, Republican from Arizona, a senior member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, urged the president on Sunday to begin the process of identifying a strategy to secure Syria's stockpiles of chemical weapons should the government of Syria fail. Following the Obama administration's declaration this week that Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad had used chemical weapons against rebels looking to unseat him, lawmakers on Capitol Hill then started to ponder just how best to respond. The president had previously called the use of such weapons a red line that would prompt a response from the United States. This is IRN USA Radio News.
It's a fact. You can make thousands of dollars flipping houses. Discover the secret house flipping formula from Dave and Pete, the stars of A&E's number one hit show, Flipping Boston.
Hi, it's Pete and Dave. We're giving you our flipping formula for free. It's what we use to find the right house, flip it fast, and get paid.
It's time to stop just talking about flipping houses and start doing it.
Call now, 800-658-1899 for your free flipping formula strategy guide DVDs. That's 800-658-1899.
Four American service members were killed Saturday in an airplane crash in southern Afghanistan. That, according to a statement from U.S. military officials on Sunday, the cause of the crash has still not been determined as of yet, but the International Security Assistance Force said in a brief statement that initial reports indicated the crash did not involve enemy activity at the time. The province's police chief telling Reuters that bad weather caused the crash in Zabul province. A U.S. diplomat was killed, along with several other Americans, in a bomb blast in that same region earlier this month. Police say that they are not ruling out the possibility that a 5-foot-long chunk of airplane